Welcome. Jump into the Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast, where leading with love isn't just nice, it's genius. I'm Laurel Donnellan.
And I'm Daryl Brown. We'll unpack business strategies infused with empathy and action, driving both profit and purpose. Our world is ever-changing, so discover how the savvy leader wears compassion as their power suit.
Paul Engels, welcome to the Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast. I'm so happy to have you with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really exciting to be here.
I need to let our listeners know that Paul and I are friends and colleagues. We've been working with each other for about 5 years. Paul is an amazing LinkedIn and media specialist. He's going to tell you about that himself, but he's helped Compassionate Leader Circle get on the map. I always imagined that LinkedIn could help us, and it really didn't until I started working with Paul. So thank you for that. And I need to thank you so much for being our sponsor for the annual Compassionate Leader Circle Awards. And we love you for that, and we appreciate that support.
Well, it's been a great journey, and it's been so much fun every step of the way.
So before we talk about what you do now, which is so brilliant, tell us about your background, like where you started and how Engels Inc. began.
Well, going way back, I failed out of engineering in college and became a copywriter, ended up working for Ogilvy & Mather, first in New York and then in Los Angeles. And from there, I bounced around different ad agencies. I started my first company in the 90s, was heavily involved in the whole dot-com era, bounced around a few more jobs, and then in 2010, started the agency with one client, which was a medical education company, and have grown it ever since.
And talk to us about what you've done with Compassionate Leaders Circle and what you do with other clients on LinkedIn and beyond.
Well, the work we do for Compassionate Leadership Circle and for other clients is pretty much the exact same work I do for myself. And that was really a big insight for me. In 2018, I lost my biggest client and had to replace them with new clients, and started doing outreach on LinkedIn because I figured everyone that I wanted to work with was going to be on LinkedIn and probably nowhere else that I could easily find them. So I started reaching out to people and then started connecting with people and then started talking with people and realized pretty quickly that a lot of my prospective clients had the same problem I did, which it's really hard for a business-to-business company, a services company, to get other businesses as clients. Google AdWords is terrible for it. It's very expensive. Facebook, now Meta, is not very good for that because they don't have the right kind of targeting. It's all consumer-based. Twitter is a waste of time in a lot of cases. But LinkedIn is where people go to do business. And by consistently reaching out to people, I was able to replace the billing that I'd lost, and then in turn started offering my clients the same program that I was using internally to get more clients, and started getting clients for them. So when we met 5 years ago, it was kind of the same thing, that all of your prospective clients I knew were going to be on LinkedIn. And it's just a matter of putting you in front of them, connecting you with them, the most important people, not just everybody, because you can't serve everybody. You serve those who are most responsive to your message of compassionate leadership. So as you'll recall, we started connecting you with lots and lots of people. And then from there, that was the genesis of the Compassionate Leadership Awards.
And it's been the genesis of us going from 3,000 connections to 20,000 of the right connections.
Yeah.
And we, because of you, two of our biggest ongoing clients came from working with you, and lots of other clients are being developed because of this program. And without giving away the secret sauce, I will say this. I have been trying probably as long as LinkedIn has been around. So we figured out today that it's been around since 2002. And I've been, as an entrepreneur, racking my brain and imagining, like, how could I develop real relationships on LinkedIn? And I never really was able to until we worked together. And I think one of the things we've learned, or I've learned, is yes, targeting and leveraging technology in the right way is very helpful, but also communicating things that I care about to my audience. Because, yeah, you could post every week and you could post every day, but we cooked up this CLC Awards because we wanted to shine a bright light on people that are all over the world doing amazing things. And that's something that I will never tire of, right? So we communicate about that. And we found that that really resonates with our audience because they want to shine a bright light on other leaders and learn from other leaders. So it's just been amazing. And again, thank you, Paul, for the work we've done together.
Well, you know, that for me, the beauty of the Compassionate Leaders Awards is that compassionate leadership sounds great in theory, but it's easy for people to, you know, say that's too soft and squishy. And, you know, even though you and I both know it's disciplined, it's difficult, it takes a lot of commitment. And even though we know that it achieves outsized results, it's so important to be able to demonstrate that and to find people around the world, as you do, who are demonstrating compassionate leadership, who are modeling it for their constituents and their peers, and who are achieving amazing results using compassionate leadership, is a huge thing, and it's very worthy of awards. I mean, they give out awards for everything, but this is something that's important. The work that's being done is important. And highlighting it and demonstrating it is so crucial. And so thank you for spearheading that.
Yeah, it's been fun. And it gives me hope. You know, it's like my therapy. It gives me hope every year that despite the challenges in the world, there are amazing people doing amazing things every day. And we often don't hear about them. So we often are able to feature unsung heroes as well. I'd love to hear about some of the other clients you have and the types of clients you work with and other projects you've done with your amazing work.
Really, what it's come down to is we're trying to connect people with their most important strategic partners. And that takes a wide range of different forms. A fair bit of our work is with universities and, you know, specifically graduate programs at universities. They are typically trying to work with corporations who need top employees. You know, their senior staff needs to be educated at the highest levels, but they also, you know, they're looking to hire people. They're also taking existing staff and educating them to make them better. So they're investing in their own people. And how do we connect with the senior leadership at these companies and get them to take notice of the university when they're being bombarded 24/7 with different messages? So for example, one of our clients is Santa Clara University's Leidy School of Business. We began connecting the new dean with various alumni who are in high positions all around the country. And one of them said, "Hey, you know, great to meet you. I work on Wall Street. If you're ever in town, let me know and I'll give you a tour of the trading floor." You know, kind of the typical thing that they do on Wall Street. So we responded back, "It's our 100th anniversary. We would love to celebrate that by ringing the closing bell." And he responded, "Let me see what I can do." And within a couple of weeks, the dean was invited to come ring the bell on Wall Street. And this is something that normally entrepreneurs or major celebrities are invited to do. Here's a university dean from 2,500 miles away being brought to Wall Street to ring the bell. We have amazing pictures and videos of him. And now we've used that as an introduction to the dean and saying, "You know, by the way, I don't know if you caught this. Here I am ringing the bell. Would love to talk to you more about your company." And that gets him insane engagement with his prospective audience.
Yeah, you helped make a university business school dean look cool. So that's
He
really
was cool to begin with. He made Wall Street look cool.
good. That's great. So let's kind of go back to LinkedIn. So I didn't realize it was, I mean, I've been using it, I think, since it came out. So, you know, it's 22 years old.
Yes.
And I have two questions for you. Like, why are people on LinkedIn, and why has LinkedIn lasted when so many platforms have come and gone?
So that's actually something I tell my clients about all the times is why do people go on LinkedIn? And the answer is so simple that it just escapes you until you really think about it. People go on LinkedIn to solve problems. Now, think about the problems you have in your business. One is you need a job or you need an employee. So jobs can be found on LinkedIn, employees can be found on LinkedIn. You need a client or you need a vendor. You know, for me and for you, we've gotten our clients on LinkedIn. We can also find vendors for different services on LinkedIn. Lastly, you need an investment in your company, or you need a place to invest money. And we have helped clients connect with venture capital. We've helped investment bankers connect with CEOs that are looking to sell their companies. These are the types of relationships that are possible on LinkedIn that you just wouldn't find on Facebook or, you know, YouTube or wherever else, because LinkedIn is designed for one-to-one engagement. Unlike any of the other social media platforms, you can literally find almost anyone and reach out to them and connect with them. They may or may not accept your connection request, but if they do, you know, you end up connected with senior level executives at Fortune 500 companies. I'm connected to star athletes, to astronauts. I mean, how cool is that there are astronauts I can call on. They may
Good
not
to
take my call.
have them in your back pocket, Paul. You never know when you need an
Well,
astronaut.
you know, it's but also some musicians and actors and, you know, people in all aspects of business.
Well, you're kind of, I just found out today that you're teaching about LinkedIn, at LinkedIn and HubSpot. I'd
Yes.
love to hear about your classes and what you're up to there.
So LinkedIn and HubSpot, and we're a HubSpot partner agency. So I've been involved with HubSpot for a long time. But HubSpot organized these classes with LinkedIn to teach college students, and they've hired several of us to be the course instructors. And we're taking about groups of about 150 college students, introducing them to LinkedIn and showing them how the advertising side of it works, showing them how to buy ads, how to target an audience, how to do creative, how to A/B test, lots and lots of really basic things, because it does a lot of sophisticated things as well. But and then tying that into HubSpot so that you can follow up properly and send emails and, you know, document relationships and know how to respond to people. And it's a really For them, it's a really eye-opening experience because they're able to learn so much so quickly from industry experts, and they actually get paid for it, which is pretty cool. And they have real clients that they're working with. HubSpot recruits 150 companies to work with 150 students, and LinkedIn gives them $1,000 each to spend on ads. So they're playing with real dollars and buying real ads for real clients and seeing real results. I have to say, these are, you know, roughly 21, 22, 23-year-olds, they are stunned to find out that I've been on LinkedIn longer than most of them have been alive. And, you know, they know more about Snapchat than I ever will. And they spend more time on Instagram than I ever will. But when it comes to LinkedIn, it's still going stronger than ever, and has been for, you know, 2 decades now.
What do you think is going to be coming from LinkedIn in the future? I mean, you have a front row seat for what's going on over there. So, what do you imagine is going to happen as they grow and change and develop in the future?
You know, that's a hard one to say because the advertising products have gotten a lot better than they used to be. That's absolutely for sure. They're working on putting the right content in front of you at all times. So they have algorithms that are running constantly. So if you express interest in a subject, they will show you more content related to that subject. So if you're approaching LinkedIn with, I'm trying to solve these problems in my career or in my company. You know, I want to learn more about accounting because my books are a mess and I want to straighten that out, or I want to learn more about leadership or management or, artificial intelligence or any of the other things that are going on. They want to supply you with that education. They want to supply you with influencers who are exceptional experts in those fields. They want to help you maximize your career by providing you with all the best information, education, and resources that you could find anywhere. And, kind of like when you're looking for a good restaurant, you go to Yelp. If you need business advice, if you need, career mentorship, all these different parts of having a career and having a job and owning a company and growing your company, they want to be front and center in all of that.
No, I'm just, as you know, an entrepreneur is constantly looking for less platforms, right? I look at how much money I spend on subscriptions, and I'm like, is LinkedIn going to take over Zoom so that we can only do one of those platforms? But it sounds like LinkedIn is, as I'm thinking about all the different platforms I've been on over the last 20 years, I used to be on a platform for investment, but it sounds like you don't really need that because LinkedIn has that covered. And, job search, there used to be lots of platforms for job search, but I know that LinkedIn is the number one place to place ads and to find jobs, right?
Yeah.
That's evolved.
I don't have any inside knowledge on what their plans are, but think of it like Netflix, where
Yeah.
Netflix is trying to be everything entertainment. LinkedIn is trying to be everything for business.
So I'm going to go back to your students. So are they asking you any questions that surprise you, or I'm just curious about that experience as you as a LinkedIn professor with these younger people. What's that like?
First of all, it's fascinating. It's amazing that they're all digital natives. This is social media has been around their entire lives, so they've been on it constantly. But there's so much for them to learn, and I just can't imagine how much there is for me to learn because I only know a fraction of it. One of the things that's amazing is that the things I learned as an intern, a long, long time before the internet, before any of this was real, are still valid. And I'm teaching them, as they're called micro interns. I'm teaching the micro interns what I learned as an intern, when I was in college. And it's about how to about testing and about measuring and about, keeping score and optimizing. All this is actually old stuff, but they're not familiar with it, because they've learned a lot of marketing theory and things like that, but they haven't really seen it in practice, and they haven't gotten the experience of doing this. And as you were talking about different platforms, we're actually teaching them two platforms at the same time that are there's a Venn diagram of what they do in common, but they're very different, LinkedIn and HubSpot. And there's a lot of overlap, but that's not 100% overlap. So they're having to learn two platforms at the same time and appreciate why they're different and why you would choose one over the other and when you would choose one over the other. And it forces me to relearn stuff that I've kind of accrued knowledge over time. They're having to just inhale it immediately and understand it. And there's a lot of explaining that needs to happen to pull that all together and make it make sense for them.
Sounds like an amazing course. And I'm just sitting here and thinking LinkedIn and HubSpot are so smart because they're getting their next generation of users up to speed quickly. It's
They're
really
investing.
smart.
Yeah, they are. And they actually pay the students to take the course. So there's a huge demand. There are four times as many applicants as there are slots for the program.
Yeah, that's really genius, I think. So, for many of our listeners, and myself included, we know we should be using LinkedIn and we don't do enough, or we
Yes.
want to do more. We want to be smarter with LinkedIn. So, what is a few tips you can give to all the average LinkedIn users?
Well, I'll tell you what I did during the pandemic, and then kind of a spin-off of that, because I think it's really relevant. It's an evergreen thing. In April of 2020, I look around and I see all these people talking about how if you're not maximizing the pandemic, if you're not learning a foreign language and starting a business and, becoming all these different things, you're just wasting your time. You've got a laziness problem. And I thought, that's just awful. That people are scared, people are dying. We don't know when this is going to end. This is, early, early, early. And, show some compassion. Let's call it what it is. Show a little humanity. So I started reaching out to everyone I was connected to. And at the time, it was like 20,000 people, and doing it one at a time, saying, just checking in to see how you're doing. And, or it's, this is a scary time. And do you have a something that motivates you, a quote that motivates you? For me, it is something Coach used to say when I ran cross country, which is take the lead on the uphill, because we were obviously going uphill. And people started sending me their quotes, and I started collecting them into an article and then sending the article to people. And that brought more quotes and unbelievable conversations. And now the page ended up being, I don't know, 20 pages long. It's on LinkedIn, of all these quotes that people sent me. And it's everything from Old Testament to Gandhi to Oprah to, Taylor Swift. Nothing hateful, nothing political, no talk about conspiracies or anything like that. Just sharing what people were feeling. And a friend of mine who was an AA told me that she started using it with her AA group. So it's like it was helping people with their sobriety, which was wonderful. But you obviously can't send a pandemic-related message now. That would just be weird. But what you can do is just ask people how they're doing. And it's such a simple thing. But if you make a point of asking everyone you're connected to once a year how they are doing, they will tell you. And they'll ask how you're doing. And they'll ask what you're doing. And they'll want to know more about what's new. And some of them, if you're looking for work, may hire you. Or if you're looking for a client to, if you're looking for client engagements, they may retain you. You open the possibility to conversations. You open the possibility to further engagement. So very strongly recommend it.
Well, what I hear you saying is what you've taught me is you start with a human connection, right?
Yes.
Like I was just often jumping to buy my retreat, come to my
Yes.
webinar, and it didn't work
No, it does not work.
because there was no connection, there was no humanity, and there was no relationship. So,
Right.
you've taught me how to have real relationships on LinkedIn.
People buy from those they know, like, and trust. They don't buy from just anyone who's offering them, because people are offering them stuff all the time, and it's so easy to say no. But if they know you, if they trust you, and obviously if they like being with you, then that's going to make a huge difference. So, and that a lot of that is compassion, right? It ties back to what you're doing. Can I also say one thing that we're doing? I'm doing with another client, just so much fun, and we're using LinkedIn for a lot of it. But he hosts coffee, and by hosting meaning he just invites people to a coffee shop and people show up. He doesn't buy coffee for anyone. There's no agenda. There's no ulterior motive. It's just, hey, we're going to be at this place. You're welcome to show up, and people do. And then he posts a few pictures of it on LinkedIn. These are hey, we had this event. People showed up. It was great. And he gets so much engagement from these posts that people are saying, oh, this is so wonderful. Thank you for doing this. Invite me next time. I'd love to be there. Is it okay if I do this in my city? And he's absolutely encouraging everyone to host in-person events. Again, at a coffee shop, it's not anything expensive. You just, show up at 7:30 in the morning, and people surprise you, and complete strangers will show up and start talking and get to know each other. And I've met amazing people this way, because I, of course, go to all these events because I need to get out and I need to meet real people in real life, and it works.
Does he travel around and do them, or does he do them mostly at home, or both?
He primarily does them in Santa Monica, where he lives, but he is going to Chicago for a few months to deal with family. So he'll be hosting them there, and he's been to Washington, D.C. and hosted events there. So because I've worked with him to make a lot of connections on LinkedIn, anywhere he goes, he knows people and can invite people,
Yeah,
and
that's cool.
people really enjoy it. So ask people how they're doing, invite them to coffee.
So, as you grow your own business, what is a ideal client for you? Like, who's the type of client that this really helps and that you like to work with?
So we like to work with smart people who are looking into business development. And business development generally means partnerships and big corporate relationships, big organizational relationships, where it's not transactional necessarily, where you're not, looking to sell, a computer system or software. It can be that, but often it's much bigger than that. Like one of our university clients is, actually several of them have created specific courses for specific companies. So if you're at a certain company, you're encouraged to attend a webinar, and you're encouraged to learn more about why the company is investing all this money and paying for your tuition to attend this. The outreach is all about mentorship and helping you improve your career and showing you what other people who've gone through the program have learned, and why that's been valuable to them, and how they've been able to internalize what they've learned and improve their own lives and really use it as a turning point for their lives.
So you want to work with smart people that are growing their business and want to make a positive impact on the world.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Sorry, no gun manufacturers for us.
That's great. So when we wrap up our podcast, I like to ask two questions. Number one, what is the life lesson you want to pass on to my listeners?
The tagline for our company is engage creatively. That is a very hard thing to do. I think your work is very much aligned with it, but as opposed to engage transactionally. So engaging creatively means to engage in order to advance the conversation, to create something new, to expand your horizons and your prospects' horizons, to offer value, to offer support, to help good people do good things, even if there isn't an immediate and obvious payoff for you. To recognize that we've all been supported by others along the way, and the more you give, the more you get. So that's engaging creatively is about all of that and more.
And being your colleague, you've been very generous to us. So I'm very grateful for that. And one other question is, as a leader, because you manage and influence a lot of people, what's one leadership lesson you'd like to share with our listeners?
The work that I do, the work that I sell to clients, is stuff that I've done myself. I can say with 100% certainty that when we started a campaign for you, it was going to generate results. We didn't know the exact number of results and how it's going to play out, but we knew things were going to happen because we knew what path to take, because we've been on that path for years. So it's really about in the tech world, they talk about eating your own dog food, and it's kind of a gross analogy, but it's true. If the work you're doing is of such quality that you would buy it yourself, that you would be your own first customer, then you're on the right path.
Yeah, and it's really hard to lead people and leave companies and be an entrepreneur. So having that belief will take you far on days when it's hard, right?
Yes.
Beautiful. And tell us how our listeners can be in touch with you and learn more about you.
Well, first of all, you're welcome to look me up on LinkedIn, Paul Angles, PaulAngles. There are actually two Paul Angles. One is my nephew. You'll know I'm the older one. I live in Los Angeles. He lives in Kansas, so it's pretty obvious which of us is which. Or you can go to my website, angles-inc.com. Or if you want to schedule an appointment with me, just paulangles.com is my calendar.
Thank you, Paul, for being with me today in a different way. We so appreciate you.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And that's a heart-wrapped episode of the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. May your compass always point to kindness.
As you navigate the world, let compassion be your North Star. Join us next time as we continue to redefine success one heart-led decision at a time.
Lead wisely, lead with heart. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com.